Extremely enthusiastic, knowledgeable actors who will appear in the play. Joseph Diaz is Renfield, David Cadle is Van Helsing, and Mark Smith is Dr. Seward. All very well-known names to anyone who loves the Dracula story. But that history of the Dracula story is quite complicated, and so a lot of people have in their minds certain versions of it, but the one we are talking about is that play that came out in the 20s that was one of the original adaptations and actually came before, as you all have informed me, the Bela Lugosi film. So the Bela Lugosi film was really based upon that original play. So Acting Unlimited is taking us back to that traditional play. And I can really tell that you all are so happy to be in it. You're really into your characters and know so much about the play. But for those people who don't really remember the Dracula story and maybe just know that he's a vampire, could one of you perhaps, I don't know, who would like to tell, kind of give us a thumbnail of that story? Van Helsing, Dr. Seward?
This is Dr. Seward here. I own a sanatorium. My daughter's friend and then my daughter has been affected by a mysterious illness. And I've called my old friend Van Helsing in to help me with this diagnosis.
All right. Well, tell us just a moment. Is that where it starts? Do we start in England with this play or do we see, is there a scene set in Transylvania?
No, the entire play takes place in the sanatorium,
okay. In
the house that's connected to it, technically.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's simplified. It's not as expansive as the original story. Mm-hmm, it's been cut down for the stage, obviously. And we can't do a lot of scene transitions.
Right, the mountains of Transylvania.
Yes, yeah, we can't exactly have chase scenes and action gunshots and things like that.
It's a little difficult to angularly represent the mountains of Transylvania on stage.
Yes. So it's simplified. They put it in the sanatorium. So knowing that, just kind of briefly sketch out the story and the background that you most people would know when the scene opens.
Well, to start off, we can't go too far into it, obviously.
Right. I don't want to give it away.
Yes. but obviously, Lucy has fallen ill. Now, what's strange about it is that Mina, a friend of hers, fell ill with the same disease. At this point, she has died. She has passed away. Lucy now has the same disease, Dr. Seward's daughter, and Dr. Seward is concerned. And so he calls for Professor Van Helsing to come in because he's a specialist on strange medical phenomena, mm-hmm. occult, and so forth. And then they go through the process of Van Helsing convincing Dr. Seward and John Harker, Lucy's fiancé, that what is happening is something that's supernatural. Mm-hmm. And then they go through the process of finding out who the vampire is. Because at this point, nobody knows what a vampire
mm-hmm.
is.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't connected the dots. Now, obviously, the audience members are going to know that Dracula is a vampire. But it's interesting to see the drama that unfolds between the characters because they have to put two and two together.
So it's really set up as a detective story, kind of a mystery detective story, kind of in the same vein that they would have been aware of, say, Sherlock Holmes.
Yes, actually, they make a reference somewhere in the play that Van Helsing is a sort of Sherlock.
A Dutch Sherlock Holmes is what they call him in the play.
That's exactly right.
A Dutch Sherlock Holmes.
That's exactly right. And so when he comes in and just says, hey, here's what it is, everybody else goes, it can't be that. And so he goes, no, obviously it is. And then he sets up scenes and situations where he's proving to them. And then things unfold where Dracula finds out Van Helsing's there. He then becomes a threat. They have it out between each other. And the story unfolds from
there. So there's really a dramatic battle of wills and intellect as mm-hmm. well, in addition to this mystery.
And a few strangulations and things like that.
Yes, of course. Well, let's not get too far into the details here. Let's leave something for the audience to find out.
That's a surprise.
Right. Well, now, Joseph, you play Renfield.
That's correct.
Tell us about that character. For those who aren't familiar with
it. Of course. The character of Renfield is one of the patients at Seward Sanatorium. And he's a unique character, I have to say. I never played anyone quite like him because he is, in fact, insane. He is a lunatic, but his illness is not entirely of this world, let's say.
He was already broken, but then Dracula broke him even more. Mm-hmm. It affected his brain when he took over.
He kind of moves from being crazy to being possessed and back and forth.
The character of Renfield, as Seward said, moves through several stages of lunacy to possession to even moments of lucidity that I have a lot of fun portraying on stage.
We can hear that in your voice, how much you really enjoy it.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. It gives me a lot of variety to play with, because Renfield has moments where he legitimately wants to help the protagonists, and then moments where he's completely under the vampire's control.
Mm-hmm. Which actually has parallels to many, there are so many versions of vampire stories out these days, all kinds of sagas, but there's often this subset that they're vampire wannabes. Do you know, kind of vampire groupies?
And that's exactly what Renfield is. Mm-hmm. He wants to become a vampire and get that eternal life and all that power. Mm-hmm. And in the process of doing it, he completely loses his humanity.
Right. So that's actually a very old phenomenon that was kind of inherent in the original story, this desire, this attraction to that life and that power.
Exactly. Yeah. What Renfield represents in the play is what could happen to Lucy if it's allowed to go on for too long, is that she'll become this half-human monster that possesses little to no remnants of their humanity.
So he has that concern.
Exactly. Renfield actually, in his moments of lucidity, wants to stop Lucy from becoming that. Mm-hmm. And then in his moments of insanity, does everything in his power to make Lucy become that.
The ultimate conflicted character, obviously.
He is. Think kind of like Gollum and Smeagol from The Lord of the Rings is basically what Renfield is.
All right. We're getting a picture of that. it opens tomorrow night, so if people are interested in getting tickets for Halloween night, they need to call now. Would probably be a good time. Yes. When you left, apparently there were just like 10 seats left.
There are currently around 8 or 10 seats left in the theater, yes.
All right, so you might want to call now if you're
getting
interested.
But only for Wednesday. For other nights, there...
Yes. Yes, yeah. If you don't want to celebrate on Halloween night, all through the weekend, you can see it. Well, I'm very interested in this, again, because we see so many vampire films, stories out there, so many different versions of it. You all are coming to this very traditional, original screenplay, in essence. What did you have to do? Did you have to kind of go purge yourself of other versions you've seen recently? What did you do to prepare yourself? Van Helsing is shaking his head.
No. Fortunately, I came to it with very little fascination with vampires to begin with. This is my very first stage play ever in my entire life. So, interesting that I got a lead role like this. Mm-hmm.
But theater it's been, baby.
Yes, yes. It was interesting in that I auditioned and was offered the lead role. And Walter Brown, the director, I guess, saw potential and the eagerness. And I came to it with, I'm a blank slate, teach me everything. Now I have a natural presentation ability and I have no stage fright, which is great. But it was great seeing how he just allowed us to discover the characters from scratch. He would come in and give suggestions and emotions and moods, and the character should be feeling this at this time. But he allowed us to explore the area of how to emote that on the stage. And so that was really great without having to start, blank slate from any vampire things that I knew before, as well as any acting habits that I had before. I don't know if it was the same for everybody else, but...
But for you.
Yes.
Now, what's also interesting, Van Helsing, I think, fascinates a lot of people. His character and his approach and his kind of fearlessness about what's happening. Your background is in mathematics and computers, something very analytical, where you're fearless on stage, you don't have stage fright. That's very good for Van Helsing. And also an analytical mind. Mm-hmm. You're bringing a great characteristic to Van Helsing.
Yeah, I have a number of scenes where I simply go through just like Sherlock Holmes, wander around, go through some ideas, put two and two and two together to get six, and everyone else is kind of just watching in fascination going, oh my, this is, okay, he's coming to conclusions. And then I have to turn around and go, yeah, this is what I got to. And everybody else is going, ha, that's balderdash. That's, no.
They're not quite convinced of it.
Yes.
Preposterous is more the word I use.
Yeah.
We should use the word balderdash more. It's a wonderful word.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Absolutely. But it does fit me personally, and I think it's a natural role.
It's
been a great experience to jump into the theater world.
Now,
and I really hope to do more.
It's interesting the way you said gave you the lead role, because it's called Dracula, and people think of Dracula perhaps as the lead character, but in many, many versions, mm-hmm. Van Helsing is that adversary, that character that solves the problem and keeps everyone focused.
Yeah, I would say co-lead, if I mm-hmm, needed to be specific, mm-hmm. with Dracula. Yeah. But Van Helsing is such an important character in the whole thing, yeah. As well as Dracula. Unfortunately, who's standing at the end kind of determines who the
that's right, who's the lead
guy.
Character.
I don't know.
I want to tell people who may just be tuning in, we are talking about the play Dracula. Acting Unlimited Incorporated will open their production tomorrow evening, and it will run through the weekend. This is the 1928 play by Dean and Balderston that preceded the film with Bela Lugosi in it. So we're really taking it back to some traditions. And it was on Broadway.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Not mistaken. Yeah.
It was, in fact.
Was it a successful play?
Yes. That's why they made the movie. They don't make movies after flops on Broadway.
Flops on Broadway. You're right. Now, what was interesting, too, and I think it was you, Joseph, who was saying, is that when you read the directions, they actually have directions to have medics on site.
Yes. The script actually advises having a Red Cross nurse available in the lobby of the show in case audience members start fainting from the sheer horror of the play.
It wasn't just to supply blood. No,
not as far as we know, though I'm sure that was a nice bonus.
Right, but they were expecting perhaps some delicate people who might be
well, fainting. Audiences back then were a bit more fragile than audiences nowadays, I think. We're a bit more skeptical now. We see a vampire on stage and we think, oh, there's an actor.
There's another vampire.
There's another vampire. Does this one also sparkle?
It wasn't their same experience back in 1928.
Just as a disclaimer, though, there is no sparkling in our play.
All right. No. It's serious. Dark.
No glitter.
Mystery. Yes. Well, now, Mark, you play Dr. Seward, and you also sound like an interesting, kind of conflicted character as well. I mean, you're a man of medicine.
Yes. But I kind of play the view of the audience. And so we start off as not really believing this, not understanding this, hoping for a medical explanation. Mm-hmm. And I have to be won over by mm-hmm.
The coldly analytical doctor.
Yes. I bring him in, but I'm not too happy with where he goes with this for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Then after I see see Dracula, then I'm convinced, and I'm deeply worried about my daughter.
There's that too,
and not very understanding about the kind of twists and turns of his analytical method.
It would be much easier if it was consumption or something. About that. Mm-hmm. Well, now you said you're convinced when you see Dracula, so there must be a pretty spectacular Dracula in this play as well.
Oh, yes.
And Stephen. Since he is not here, maybe you all could tell us about him, Stephen Cooper.
He's one of the more experienced actors in the Lafayette area. One of his biggest advantages as Dracula is that he has a phenomenal stage presence, and he really knows how to move. He has physicality as Dracula is excellent. So both when he plays Dracula as the man and Dracula as the monster, it's very believable in both because of the way he moves as Dracula.
Mm. And he also teaches, I believe, he's certified to teach on stage weaponry.
Yes, fight choreography and stage combat. We actually have some of that in the play, which I think you'll be excited to see.
Mm. So it's not just a matter of fangs.
No, it's not.
Kind of, no, absolutely
fighting.
Not. There are some. There
are hands
some
are laid on.
Yes.
All
yes.
Right. Okay.
Fisticuffs are had.
That sounds so Victorian.
I have a bruise to prove it.
So Stephen Cooper as Dracula, again, a master of physicality on the stage. We can hardly wait to see that. Mm-hmm. And how do you deal with, are there any coffins actually that end up on
two
stage?
Two coffins.
We actually have two coffins, mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. We practiced moving them last night.
Filled with dirt. Or bodies.
Bodies, yes.
Bodies,
yes.
Okay.
A decomposed one in one body and in one coffin and
the undead
something
in the
else
other.
In another coffin.
Quite a heavy physical being in the other. Tell us who the other actors, actresses are who play the women in the play.
In addition to the three of us, there's also Philip Spear playing the role of John Harker, who's something of the male romantic lead. He's Lucy's fiancé. Playing the role of Lucy is Aaron Segura. We also have playing the roles of the attendants. We have Butterworth, who is the male, who is sort of the butler, as well as Renfield's personal attendant, and I suppose restraint is Cody Dunstan, who was, I believe, last seen in
Wolves in the Wall.
Yes, in AOI's Wolves in the Wall, playing the wolf brother. We also have Shannon Kennist playing the role of Mrs. Wells, who was Lucy's maid.
Mm-hmm. All right, quite a distinguished cast. Are there any other elements that really, you know, glitter? But do you have music? Is there music attending this play at all?
There are some sound cues. We have mm-hmm. some sound effects. I don't believe there is any music in the play.
So no organ sounds,
no,
nothing that sounds gothic.
There are a fair number of interesting lighting effects, though, mm-hmm. that... Yeah. Add a great deal of atmosphere to the play.
Mm-hmm. And how is the play set? What sort of, do you have any time indications? Is it sort of set in the 19th century? How is that indicated?
It's set right at the time at which it was written, approximately late 20s, early 30s.
Right. So costumes and everything sort of.
Most of it takes place at night.
Okay, so you don't really see a lot of the outside world.
No. The stage is pretty much an office in which most of the action occurs. For us, it's we know what's going on off stage and things like that. It's referenced a lot. Mm-hmm. So you can build up an imaginary image of what's going on outside. But what you actually see are the people standing there talking about it, figuring it out. Mm-hmm. Being dramatic.
Yeah. Well, has being in this play, reading these words that were written back in the 20s, has it given you a new appreciation for the Dracula story maybe you didn't have before? Or
Having come into the play, never having read the book, mm-hmm. it was really interesting to not just read the story, but to live through the story, mm-hmm. to actually understand what all the characters were going through as they went through this horrifying tale of Dracula themselves.
Being faced with such a terrible mystery as well. And any of you, the rest of you, did you have any, I guess your sense of Dracula, has it deepened? Has it matured?
It's really been fun. Mm-hmm. As I kind of got into the acting part as opposed to the being of the professor part, it was really interesting to kind of take each line and say, well, now what was I trying to do here? And what were they trying to do there? Mm-hmm. So it's the acting part has really been wonderful.
Yeah. I guess it just interests me because it's such a primal story and it touches so many different chords in people. I mean, again, hence the incredible fascination with vampires right now. What was your experience, David?
Personally, I think it allowed me to see that Dracula is easily confused with an unfeeling creature. Mm-hmm. And then the modern vampires are more glorified. They're more seen as, oh, it's a rock star. It's an actor that's going to be awesome, and he's going to be a millionaire, and he's going to be able to do everything that's wonderful and, you know, save girls and all that sort of stuff. And this is more of a creature that was human, is still trying to hold on to its humanity even after it's being alive for over 500 years. Mm-hmm. And kind of going, no, I'm still a human, but I have all these things that I'm compelled to do. I have to drink blood. I have to control people. I have to do these horrible, horrible, unfeeling things. I wonder personally, going through the play, how much that has affected his ability to go, look, I'm just tired of all this. Mm-hmm. I really am. Mm-hmm. And just kind of finally go, you know, I may not do everything possible to just kill everything in sight. Mm-hmm. And so one day somebody will stop me. Mm-hmm. And as Van Helsing in the play, I actually wonder that. I don't have any lines to that effect, but I play that as a subtext in the character that I think at some point he really wants us to go after him and try to stop him.
To end this.
Yeah. But that's just
an interesting
dynamic. Yeah,
right.
I
think many people have felt that with many of the variations on that story as well, with that Van Helsing character. And a great book to read. I don't know if it inspired you all to read it.
I watched all the movies, too. I watched every single one of them.
Well, it is the season. So. Yeah.
It is.
I watched a number of the movies. I will be reading the book after because the only book that I was reading before was my script over and over and over again.
So you could learn it.
Because I have so many
lines. We have very well-worn copies of it.
Look how lovely that is. The old playbook there, the Samuel French playbook. Dracula, dramatized by Hamilton Dean and John Balderston. Again, if you have just tuned in, my guests are actors in the play Dracula. This is the 1928 play, very successful on Broadway, that was made into the movie Dracula with Bela Lugosi. So seeing this play, you're really getting back to those origins of the vampire story as it was told here in the past century in the United States, and again appearing on Broadway. So a great opportunity to see this being produced by AUI Acting Unlimited Incorporated. My guests, Joseph Diaz is Renfield, Mark Smith is Dr. Seward, and David Cadle is Van Helsing in this play. It's at Theater 810. How has that been to perform this play? It's a very small, intimate space.
It's a very nice theater. We put the set together next door, and a couple days ago we moved the set over into the theater, and so it's very intimate. You'll really get to look right into our eyes.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I would think too, there's a certain element of claustrophobia that you try to create with vampires, and the intensity of, you think about that, coffins and small spaces.
There's a feeling of entrapment, I think, at certain points in the play, especially when the characters have realized what's going on and what's at stake, and that they really can't escape this monster into their lives. Mm-hmm. And we try to create that same feeling in the audience with the small space, with our blocking and with the set itself. If you look around the walls of the set, it's painted in a way that's almost reminiscent of a tomb that I particularly enjoy in the set construction.
Well, certainly very effective. And it will only run this weekend, so if people are interested in tickets, they should call. Or I believe there's an Eventbrite site.
There is, in fact.
People can get their tickets. But I think you have something. If you go in costume tomorrow evening, you get a discount.
Tickets are normally $10.
Okay.
If you show up in costume, it's $2 off at the door.
Okay, but you can make a phone reservation for that.
Yes,
that is correct.
You can't do that online.
Right.
You either show up and buy a ticket, or you make a phone reservation and buy your ticket at the door.
Well, great way to celebrate Halloween tomorrow, seeing Dracula. But again, the season lasts the whole week, so you can go see this play through Sunday, I believe. So what are the times?
The performance on Wednesday is at 8:30, allowing you to go trick-or-treating and still go see the play afterwards.
Okay.
Keep your costumes on to get that discount. The performances on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday are at 7:30, and the performance on Sunday is at 3 o'clock.
All right. Fun for all ages. It's appropriate for...
All right, so we're not going to
perhaps a bit frightening for the young ones, but it's all in good fun.
That's fine. It's actually no worse than what you would see on a cartoon or something like that. There's actually no bad language in the play that I can remember. Okay.
There are a few small ones, but nothing severe.
No.
We'll let parents make that call. But you're not going to be having a Red Cross person in the lobby just in case people think.
Not that we know of, but I'm pretty sure when it was trained in first aid, just in case.
All right.
If you faint, we will take care of you. Don't worry.
All right. Well, that's Dracula. And again, a 1928 play, classic, really classic, very successful on Broadway. You have the opportunity to see it here in Lafayette this week, opening night, tomorrow night. And it might inspire you to read that classic Bram Stoker book, Dracula.
And Theater 810, if you don't know, is it 810 Jefferson?
Very easy to find. I like it when theaters call themselves that. 810 Jefferson Street, that's tomorrow evening opening up, and there are tickets available throughout the week. Thank you all for coming to tell us about Dracula.
Thank you so much.
Mark Smith.
Thank you.
David Cadle and Joseph Diaz. Thank you all.